378.
Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear, for he will pass over you.
This time, who's got a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house tonight? Yes, KJ, unspoken. Yes. Unspoken. Anybody else tonight? Okay. All right. Talking okay, Connie. Right, anybody else tonight? All right, Chris, you come on up. We're going to take up our Sunday night offering. We missed you this morning, buddy. Anthony, you got it by yourself tonight. You can handle it, can't you? I know you can. That's right. That means everybody get their wallets out. Lord, we thank you for the day. This beautiful Sunday you've given all of us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for us. We ask you to be with us tonight, feed us, maybe sing the songs of praise in your name. And may this offering be used for your honor and your glory. And in your name we will pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Share a song with us tonight, and that was beautiful this morning. I enjoyed that from Tom. 376. Let's sing about the promised land. Let's stand as we sing again.
promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains, shines your eternal name. There God the sun forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go?
Asked Amy and Pam to sing I Call Him Lord with me tonight, but as the afternoon progressed, my range went away, so I guess I talked too hard this morning and sang too much or whatever, but I hope you don't mind the song I'm going to sing. I've sang so many times, and it was a song that when I really couldn't sing, I could sing it for some reason. It's called How Beautiful Heaven Must Be.
It's made for the poor and the free. These truths in God's word has given how beautiful heaven's been.
How beautiful heaven must be. Thank you.
place where no more pain, a place where no more sin. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for them that love Him. More beautiful than you can imagine.
Thank you, Tom. I don't wear these, so somebody's lost one. Anybody lose a nice white gold earring? It's a beautiful one. Looks like yours, Susie. If we find the other one, I'm sure we'll find a taker. Or we'll find somebody with one ear. Okay. It's good to see you back again. It's a hoop. We have a winner. Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. I don't know about you all, but we had a good time this morning, and God really blessed. And you'll never know how much He blessed. We can just get the feel of the service, but we'll never know how much He did in the lives of everybody who was here. I can assure you of that. I know firsthand that God did some really wonderful, great things in this service this morning. Yeah. And we're going to look at a psalm, if you don't mind. A Psalm 119. Y'all know about Psalm 119, don't you? Say yes. Yeah. Psalm 119 is a very interesting psalm. It's very long psalm. Very. And in every verse, the Word of God is mentioned. Every verse. And if you want to know how many that is, go ahead and get in there and read them and count them. But in one way, shape, form, or fashion, the Word of God is mentioned in every verse. And I'll give you an idea here, and then I'll get started in this. I'm going to be taking Psalm 119, verse 33 to 40. Now look at 33 first. It says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes." Word. That's his word, the statutes. Look at verse 34. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." That's his word. Verse 35. "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments." That's his word. Isn't this interesting? It's good, isn't it? Look at verse 36. "Incline my ear unto thy testimonies." Verse 37. "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." That's his word. "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear." So there he says the word word. "Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." Okay, now we're going to get into all of these verses. By the way, it's the same amount of verses in every section. If you'll notice, your Bible has different sections. There's 8 verses to each section, and every verse has the Word of God in it. So it's all about His Word. It's all about the power of His Word. It's all about how the Word changes our lives. So we're going to look in these verses, these 8 verses from 33 to 40. We're going to take a look at 4 pictures of a man of God. 4 different pictures in these 8 verses. So that would be how many verses per person? Do your math. 2 verses, right. Oh, y'all are right on it. 2 verses for each person. So what we're going to do first is we're going to see the first person in this, and he becomes a sojourner. Now, we've got songs with sojourner in them where we know about a sojourner. We talk about being a sojourner. So he's going to tell us a little bit about a sojourner here. A sojourner, we learn that life is more than just a life. It is a journey. And I know you've read that thing. It's not the destination as much as it is the journey. And I would have to agree with that to an extent, but I sure do like to get to my destination, don't you? And our destination is heaven as a child of God. But I'll have to tell you, the journey has been wonderful. It has been wonderful. Has this life all been wonderful, this life down here? Well, no, it hasn't. But going from here to heaven, it's wonderful. Because we're in touch with Him and He's in touch with us. So He's talking about a sojourner here. A man of God is a wanderer in this life. He's wandering through. Remember Abraham? Abraham was a sojourner. That's what he was. He had nowhere to hang his hat. He really doesn't have any place that he can call his. Even though you might have a house somewhere, you mow the yard and take care of it and pay the taxes and paint it and keep it up and everything. That's what we call as ours. That's our place to be. It's just a place. I see houses going up for sale everywhere in my neighborhood now. There for a while, nobody could find a house to buy. Now I see more signs than ever before of houses being for sale. Houses come and go. Cars come and go. Things of this world come and go. We're just a sojourner here. We come and go from what people see of us, but not who I really am. I am an eternal being. You are too. And I'm not waiting to die to begin my eternal journey. I've already began my eternal journey. I'm on the way. I'm just having to put up with some of y'all before I leave here and go to heaven. And I'm going to try my dead level best to do a good job of it, okay? And you have to put up with me. That's the other part of it. You know that song, "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through"? Y'all know that? Well, that's exactly what a sojourner is, and that's what we're doing. And what David's doing here as a sojourner, he needs directions. And we do too. Even though we're sojourners and we like that idea because it kind of gives us an idea of not having to be nailed down to anything. You know, we're just floating through. You know, like I told you about my dad being a hobo. You know, a hobo was a guy who just got out and jumped trains and took off and went wherever it went. And he would, when he got there, he'd get on another train, come back. That's what they are. They go somewhere and live a while and come back. I don't know if they call themselves homeless or not, but in a way, I don't guess they saw themselves as homeless. Wherever they were, that was their home. And so a sojourner is just going through this old land, but we need directions. And God just happens to give us directions. In Psalm 119, from verse 1 all the way through, take your Bible and open it up there, and let's see how many verses there are in Psalm 119. 176 verses. That's a lot of verses. And His word is mentioned in every verse. And the reason His word is mentioned is to give us guidance for our sojourning while we're here on this old earth. And the thing about David is he promises to follow the directions he's given. Now, if you don't follow the directions, what good is it? Now, I'll have to tell you, there are some things I don't follow directions. If I'm in the kitchen, I don't have a kitchen now, but if I'm in a kitchen and I'm stirring up a batch of something to put in the oven, I don't go by what they say on the box. I don't. I let the Lord guide me. And I'll put all sorts of stuff in it. And everybody that has eaten anything that I've baked says, that's the best thing I've ever tasted. Just kidding. Some people are kind, and some people are honest. And then some people are kind and honest. And so take your pick, okay? So let's see here what he is as a sojourner. As a sojourner, you got to be faithful to the Lord. He says in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. He doesn't ask him to teach him the statutes. He wants him to teach him the ways of the statutes. We need to know the ways of the Lord. We don't need to know necessarily that we have a Bible that goes from Genesis to Revelation, and it's all good between cover to cover, cover to cover, however how you say that. The whole thing is good, and I'll get to that at the very end of this. It's all good, but what we need to know is what the word is about. He wants to know, when he says, teach me, O Lord, he wants to know the ways of the statutes. He wants to know a little bit more than just what it sounds like and what it says. Like I told you about Brother Frank Thompson, he could memorize chapters and books of the Bible. And of course, I know Brother Frank was a good preacher, a good pastor. He was a better preacher than he was a pastor because he couldn't hardly keep a church, but he was a good preacher. He was one of those that said, I like to pastor, I just don't like people. And I'm not sure where that led him in the later life. I was very young when Frank Thompson was around, but some of the older preachers would have remembered Frank a whole lot more. So he says, David says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. He was dedicated to what God was going to show him. He was going to keep it. Now, we got to do the same thing. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you agree to do that, because only you can agree to do that where you sit, as you hear, not me, hear what the word has to say, because you see, I'm reading it directly out of the canon of the word of God. God put this in our stead, and it's all good, it's all pure, it's all true. There's no contradictions in the word of God. I know this whole world wants to make you believe there are some errors in the Word of God. There are no errors in the Word of God. And there are no contradictions. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that. If you got to that point and you believe that, you might as well throw all your Bibles in the fire and burn them. They're of no benefit. God took care of His Word. He made sure that what He said is downright, and He's going to take care of it. And He has for centuries, and He's going to continue until He comes by. So David says, I want to know the ways of the statutes, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow that. And what he meant by that was the same thing that happened to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, and they came down to the Red Sea, and they had a mountain over here and the Red Sea here, and they couldn't go anywhere, and the Egyptians were coming in behind them. They were going to kill them all, and their leader found a way by his relationship with God to just do what God said, and it opened up, and they walked through on dry land. Sounds like a good beginning, doesn't it? That was the beginning, by the way, of their journey. I know they'd left Egypt and they'd gone a long way, but now life is beginning to close in on them. And you, when you got saved, that was like the Red Sea opening up for you, and everything was good that day, right? Oh, wonderful. And then after you got on the other side, you found out there was a wilderness. And when you got into the wilderness, you found out that down here in this old world, there's a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of troubles. But you don't have to hang your head. You don't. You don't have to go into depression. God's got it, folks. And I know they use that phrase a lot. God's got this. Well, God's always had it, and he'll always have it. He's not going to let go of it. It belongs to him. But when he got down there and went in, across the Red Sea and got on the other side, then that was behind him. The wilderness was before him. Now the old journey is facing things he hadn't seen before. He was going to have to depend on God a whole lot more now. From now on, throughout his lifetime, he would depend solely on God. But here, old David said, Lord, if you'll just tell me where you want me to go and what you want me to do, give me directions, I'll go and I'll do it right to the very end. I won't quit. Now, in the wilderness, they didn't have any maps. They didn't have GPS. They didn't. They didn't have any signs that says turn here. They had to lean on God. There was no Googling that. You know, if one of them come up with a problem, well, let's just Google that and see what it says about it. But you know what they did have? They had something from God that was better than any GPS you have. Because I just learned this past week that that stuff can be gone in a heartbeat. People panicked. Did y'all hear about that, AT&T? People panicked when that happened. They're thinking, wow, what if this happened on a bigger scale? What would we do? Yeah, you go back to the old way. And some people don't even know the old way. Yeah, that's when I could get rich. Teaching them the old way for a fee, right? So if you're a little bit old, take advantage of it, okay? It's okay. But there wasn't anything to show them except a cloudy pillar. Now, who would have thought that a cloudy pillar would lead somebody through the wilderness? But that's exactly what happened. God gave it to him. That's his way of doing what David was asking for. And that is, Lord, just teach me your ways. And God was teaching him the ways. He taught Moses his ways, and Moses learned, and he kept them too. So God does not promise us an easy journey through this old life. He doesn't. But he does promise us a safe journey to heaven. You're safe. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to harm you between here and there. Oh, they may take your life down here. That's okay. They can't harm you because we know who you are, right? And you know who you are. You aren't that body that's sitting in one of these pews tonight. If that sounds a little spiritual, it is, because you are a spirit. Your body just happens to be there. You are who you are. That's why it's okay for you to get a little happy in the Lord sometime and shout or tell, just say hallelujah or do something, because that body is not what's doing that. That's that person inside you, the Holy Spirit, who's leading and guiding you and directing you. So he wanted to be faithful, and he wanted to know the ways of God, and he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of that, and I'm going to take care of it till the end of the way. He wanted to understand. In fact, he says, let me reread it. He says, teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Give me understanding. Sounds like he wants understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. If you'll just let me understand it more. I have people ask me all the time, I don't understand that. And the best thing I can say is, well, when you grow enough in the Lord, and the Lord sees that you're able to connect that together, he's not going to let you understand it until you know more to connect it with. Remember the train deal? The train's not going to leave the depot until all the cars are hooked to it. And God's going to make sure that if you're going to understand this, you're going to understand it by hooking it together with something else that comes from the Word of God. But that's why you can say sometimes, boy, that turned on a light bulb for me. You know, you might have read that verse of Scripture for years, and you read it one more time, and the light just comes on, and you say, man, I never saw it like that before. Well, that's the Holy Spirit letting you know exactly what he did. He said, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe. I shall observe it with my what? My whole heart. That's why we say do it wholeheartedly. Amen. And that's what David's saying here. I'll do that with my whole heart. I won't leave anything out on the field. I won't do a halfway job. I'll do it with my whole heart. God, if you'll just let me understand it. He knew what a blessing it would be to know the ways of God and to understand them. You can have that too. If he was asking for it, you know that he knew what he was asking for. And so it would be good for us to ask for the same thing. It'll make us feel the same way he felt. So he says, give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. There is a place in your life for blind obedience. Blind obedience. You just say, yes, Lord. Maybe you don't have the understanding. You can ask for it, but you don't have to understand it all to say, yes, Lord, I will. But boy, to understand it and then to say, yes, Lord, and then go do what he has to say, that's good stuff. God has two goals in mind with his commandments. That's our good and his glory. And if you'll remember that, when you read the Word of God, the Word of God is for your good. So that little bitty human selfishness that's in us, and it's all there. Don't anybody raise your hand and say, I don't have any human selfishness. You can't do that because we've all got it. It's there, but the Lord gives us a way to get past it by going into his Word. So every time you read the Word of God, it's for your good. But more than that, it's for his glory. And that's what we want to do. We want to give him the glory for it. So you're a sojourner. If you're a child of God, you're a sojourner. Accept that position and go with it. But then he says in verse 35 and 36, he says this, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Now, you have to read the other one right along with it, or it won't connect. So I'm going to connect it if that's okay. Let's read them both together. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my ear. We usually say, incline your ear to me, God. I want you to hear me. Well, David's saying it a little bit different. He's saying, incline my ear unto thy testimonies. Lord, make me lean forward and perk my ear out there and hear your word just a little bit plainer. I want to know the directions, and I want to know them completely and not to covetousness. I don't want to covet anything. I just want to know what you have to say. So here in this one, he's letting us know that life is a real battle down here. It's a battle. And so he becomes, in 35 and 36, he becomes a soldier. He knows that discipline is needed. Anybody that goes into the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, whatever you go into it knowing when you go, you're going to have some discipline issues. because you're coming from home. Some of you came from a home where your dad said, get out of that bed. And then some of you say, honey, you going to get up today? Well, it's those that say, honey, you going to get up today are in for a rude awakening. Are you with me, men? Yeah. I'm not going to tell you about my grandson, Sam. I like scared him to death yesterday. I went out to Dwayne's to take him some wood, and I was coming back by, and I said, I'm going to go down and see Amy. And I went down, and it was nearly 11 o'clock. And I went, and I said, where's Sam? She said, he's in there in the bed. She said, you want to go see him? I said, yeah, I do. I will delight in going in to see him. I went in. He's not here. He'd love this. I went in. His head looked so good on that pillow. He was so into it, you know, just out. And I said, get out of that bed. Let me hear them feet hit the floor. Huh? Huh? I said, what are you doing in that bed at 11 o'clock? Son, you can't stay in the bed at 11 o'clock in the day. He wouldn't want me for a daddy. He wouldn't want me in the same house, I can tell you that right now. But he got up, and after he got up for a few minutes there, he was okay. Yeah, discipline. I joke about that, but we got too many young people sleeping in bed at 11 o'clock in the day. Or later, yeah. We can't have that. Goodness gracious, they're going to go off to military and it's going to scare them to death. They'll have a heart attack, right? I love my boy Sam. I text his brother Clay yesterday and I said, I miss you, Clay. I just left it at that and I went on. Well, that was yesterday morning at 7:30. Well, I know Clay ain't up at 7:30. I wouldn't expect him to be. So, Yesterday evening, he texted me back because I told him I loved him and I missed him. He texted me back and said, I miss you too, Papaw. I love it when he spells Papaw right. You know, because I love being their Papaw. Y'all love being Grandpa or Papaw or Meemaw or Meemo-mo or whatever you are. You know, everybody's changed all that stuff so they don't sound like they're old. It doesn't matter what you call it, right? You are what you are. And I love being a papaw. I just love it. So he knows he's a soldier. He's in the battle. He knows that. And he knows that he needs discipline. So he says, make me to know what I need to know. I need to know it. But he's telling God at the same time, I love doing it. But at the same time, he's saying, make me. Is that the word he used? Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Make me. Well, if you go off to the military, you'll be made. That's you don't get the choice. You get to go. Yours is not to who or why. Yours is but to do or die. Is that the way it is? You don't ask the questions. You just do what you're supposed to do. That's blind. But, yeah, you do it because they're in charge and you do it. But David said, make me to go in thy paths. Why would he have to be made? Because he just went on to say, therein do I delight. You say, well, why in the world would you have to make somebody do something that they delight in doing? Well, David knew himself, and we ought to know ourselves. We're an up and down roller coaster, folks. Life for every human being down here is a roller coaster. Go with the hills and down in the valleys. It's okay. You'll have hills and you'll have valleys. He says, go with it. But David here knows all that. And he says, Lord, when I'm in the valley and I don't want to do it, make me do it. That's what he's saying. Make me do it. I love your word. You know I love you and I love your word. Make sure I am where I need to be. Make me. It's like the prodigal son. What was it when the prodigal son left home? What did he say to his father? He said, Father, give me. what did he say when he came back home? Father, make me. Father, give me. Father, make me. Now, when you think about what all happened between the give me and make me, what he said when he got back home, he remembered how it was. The reason he left, he probably couldn't stand the discipline. You know, he couldn't stand for his daddy to say, get out of that bed and go up to the barn and feed, you know. So he leaves thinking he's got it all under control. Give me the money that belongs to me, Dad, and I'm out of here. Well, his dad being a good dad and wanting to teach him a lesson, his dad was one of those that saw the hog pens down the road. But he said, he probably trusted God that he would take care of him anyway. So he said, well, here it is. Go ahead, son. But all the time he was gone, he was looking for him to come back. And one day, he saw him coming down the road. He did. And then when the son got there, he didn't say, Father, give me. He said, Father, make me one of your hired servants. That's where God had taken him to. Sometimes we have to get to the hog pen before we learn the lesson. And David was saying, Lord, I believe in what you're saying, and I want to keep it to them, but I want you to make me do what I need to do. In verse 36, he said, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Now, I know we never covet. Nick's grinning like he coveted something today. Covet. There's a whole lot of things you can covet, right? There is. I have a problem looking at cars and motorcycles. Every time I see one that I think's prettier than mine, I want to throw my leg across it and ride it down the road or get in it and go through the gears. David Seals was here this morning. He's got him a truck now, and he was so proud of it. He traded two vehicles he had up there in his yard he'd put back together with Elmer's glue. I'm just kidding. No, I love that boy. He traded two vehicles for that truck, and he was telling me all about it, what the size of the engine was in it. It was a big one. Wasn't as big as he wanted, but it was a big one. And it wasn't automatic. It was straight drive. I said, David, this is what I want. I want to go through the gears. I have an issue with that, but I let it go. I don't covet it. I just like it. If I coveted it, I would have to find some way to try to get it, and I don't want to do that because I'm too old to get in debt. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Did he know what direction he wanted to go in? He knew what direction he wanted to go in. He just wanted God to get him there. And I hope you know what direction you want to go in. I hope you want to know that you know how much you want to please God. I just wonder if you know how to do that and how to go to him and ask for it. So, in verse 36, he's saying, I have a desire, and that desire is needed, folks. If we're going to be what we need to be to God, we're going to have to go to his word because we're not going to get it any other way. He just got through saying, I delight in your commandments, Lord. Now I need you to make me. Deliver me from this covetousness, this seesaw life that we live. Look at verse 37. Verse 37 says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. So now he's changing who he is. He's not a soldier anymore. He's a servant here. It's okay to be a servant. Don't mind that. God takes care of his servants, by the way. Takes real good care. We got benefits like no other. So he says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. And quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Now he becomes that servant who we would say fears the master. The fear that David would have of the master would be a little different than the fear that a servant or a slave would have had years and years ago. A little bit different. That was more of a physical fear. We're not talking about a physical fear. We're talking about a person, and there is a place for a physical fear. I'll have to admit that. There is a place for a physical fear in Christian living. We need to fear the power of God and what he can do. We do. But the fear that he's talking about and he wants us to know about is that we know the power he has. How many of y'all have seen that thing about the atomic bomb? Anybody? Well, did you understand the power of that thing? I don't know that we can contain it all or retain, what we would learn about it even, because the scientists who figured that thing out were so far out there above us. But then we understood how that these things connected when they exploded. It kept continuing to explode because it was using the matter that was around it to do that. That's a scary situation. Amen? Yeah, when that thing went off, it went for miles, just taking everything in its path, blowing it away, burning it up. Kind of reminds you of what God's going to do with this old earth that we have when he gets ready to build us a new one. He's going to destroy this thing so that he can build us a new one. So here he is. He's a servant now, and he's got a healthy fear. He's got a healthy spirit to discern what God wants him to do and what God wants him to be. So he knows that the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life are things he's going to have to take a look at, because it's always there. It's always facing him. So he wants God to quicken him. To quicken him means this. He says, let me just read it here for you. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me. Now the word quicken means that he wants to be made alive. Now, he knew he was breathing. He knew he was alive that way, but he wanted to be really alive. And this is not one of those things where they get you to sign up to get on the spaceship to go away one day into the universe. You know that cult deal that came out some years ago, when they fooled these people to thinking that everybody was going to get together and they were all going to get on this spaceship and everybody was going to go away. And that's weird stuff, folks. That's weird stuff. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm not telling you to get to where you want to leave here and go and you're going to get on that spaceship and get on out of here. God will take you out when the time comes. And he knows how to take you out. He knows when he's going to do it. And he's got it all figured out. So David said, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. I don't want to look at that stuff. It's of no benefit to me. I want only the things that are real and the things of vanity that this world has for us down here. It's not real, folks. Put it in the fire and burn it. It's not real. And quicken thou me in thy way. Make me alive in your way. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be just a person living in this old world. Establish thy words unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Lord, you know I fear you, so give me all you've got that will help me be what I need to be. I want to be your servant. And we can be a good servant for him. A healthy master servant relationship. Wouldn't that be good? Do you have it? We should have it. A healthy one. If it's unhealthy, you won't be able to go and pray to him until you've got it all cleared up and got your medicine. You know, your medicine is the forgiveness that he gives you because of your sin. If you've got hidden sin or sin that's not been repented of and it's just laying in there, it'll make you sick. You got to be healthy. If you want a good, healthy relationship between you and God, you got to take the medicine. repent, and he'll give you the forgiveness. And boy, what a difference it makes. Take a dose of this and call me in the morning. Right? Yeah. So the servant must hold the master in respect. He's got to look toward him for the spiritual life that he's going to have. There are three ways, and I wrote this down because I wanted you to remember it. I want to remember it first, and then you can remember it second. Three ways that man reads the Bible. Three ways. He reads it and forsakes it. Now, this is similar to what we got on Wednesday night. Marty told me Wednesday night was good for her. You read it and you forsake it. You read it and you forget it. Or you read it and you fear it. That's the three ways you can read. David chose read it and fear it. That's how he chose it. One more. You ready? Verse 39 and 40, it says this. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Turn away my reproach. Now, we know what it is to be a reproach, hopefully. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. He used the word judgments for his word. His word is good. He knew that. He wanted to be good. He did not but want to be a reproach to God. There have been times in my life when I felt like I was a reproach to God himself. Because he was my father. His son was my savior. The Holy Spirit was my guide. I had everything he had given me to have a good spiritual life down here and be blessed. And there were times in my life when I felt like I was a reproach to him. And David said, I don't want to be that. He said, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. I know what your word is to me. It's good. The psalmist wanted to live a holy life, and we want to live a holy life. He wanted God's word to make him what he ought to be, and so he asked for it. God's word is designed to do exactly that, folks. That's its design. His word is for our good because his good is designed to make us good. And don't let anybody tell you there is none good, no, not one. God can make you good. But the only way you can be good is through his word. So the only way you can be good is for him to make you good. Your goodness about the things you do, if it's not by faith and pleases God, it's not worth anything. And it's not good. It's not the real good. It's just something that people do to make themselves feel good. In verse 40, he said this, behold, looky here. I have longed, I love that word, longed. I have longed after thy precepts. I wish that every Christian longed after the word of God. Longed for it. Woke up thinking about it. Thought about it during the day. Thought about it before you went to bed at night. Might even dream about it. You long for his word to make your life what it needs to be. David longed for that. By the way, Paul did too. You remember him? He longed for it too. He says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Then he says, quicken me. Oh, he said it again. Quicken me in thy righteousness. David knew he was not good in himself. Why, goodness gracious, look what all he did. A man after God's own heart. In his own self, he was not righteous. He wanted to be righteous, and he knew the only way to be righteous was that God would make him that way. And so could I tell you that if you ask God for that, he can make it happen. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're righteous. You're holy. Why? Because he is. That's the answer. In yourself, you're not. But in him, you are. And you can claim it. Let's bow our heads. Make me alive as you are alive. That's what he wanted. And let's say that to God tonight. God, make me alive as you are alive. I want to be spiritually alive. When I go to my job tomorrow, I want to talk about the things of the Word of God. I want to talk about you, Lord. I want to talk about your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to ask people about their soul. I want to talk about eternal things. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it can change us, make us to be what we ought to be and desire to be. And we know that when you change us by your word, we're changed the right way. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Now for the request of prayer that was given this morning. Lord, I pray that soon and very soon we get some word where you have answered that prayer. We want to give you glory and praise and honor for that answer. Whatever that answer is, Lord, we accept it as your will. And we praise you for everything. You know all the requests that was given. And we put them back in your presence tonight. And we praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.